Hello, Mixed Nut Cases. This is Nuke Jess, and I've got another issue of the Nutty Bites Dinner and a Movie for the Dog Days of Podcasting for you. And today I'm going to give you a spoiler-free review of The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt that you can find on Netflix. But before I do that, I want to talk a little bit about bullying. So one of the reasons I chose Kimmy Schmidt is this topic. A friend of mine, her child is going to school and having some tough times, and it brought back a memory, and I wanted to share that memory because, I don't know, it's kind of fun and helpful, and I don't know, I pour my soul out sometimes on these. But when I was in the sixth grade, I was bullied my whole life, by the way, so stories of bullying always get me. And when I was in the sixth grade, it was the first time I had a teacher who was bullying me as well. We switched for English and math, and then we had a home teacher that taught us the rest of our subjects. And my home teacher was Mr. Devers, and he was great. But my math teacher was horrible, and he would yell at me and make me feel worthless. And even though I was bullied, and when I say bullied, I mean the entire 12 years I was in school, I had kids just picking on me relentlessly. It didn't matter. I mean, when new kids came to the school, they were told, yeah, don't make friends with her unless you want to get bullied. So nobody was friends with me. I was that person. But I still was able to keep a smile on my face and keep going. Some of my siblings were my bullies, so that didn't help either at home. But I was still able to push through. And my home teacher, Mr. Devers, he saw that I went from being able to keep a smile on my face to just being miserable all the time. And he knew something was wrong. And he knew it was wrong right away. And so he called up my mom, and he talked to the other people at school, and he said, this is not a good situation. This teacher is horrible. They pinpointed that it was this teacher that was giving me the hard time. And instead of doing anything to that teacher, unfortunately, because that's not how things worked at the time, and even now, sometimes I wonder if it works that way, they pulled me out of the class. Now, I went, the way that our English and math classes were, depending on who you went, was the level you performed academically. So I actually went from a higher math class to a lower math class. Mr. Devers' math was like the lowest. I think I might have even skipped two. I'm not sure. But I know I went to math that was just super easy for me. And I think he did that, one, so that I'd be in his class. And two, pushing me up to something that was harder when I felt worthless wasn't going to help me perform anyway. And I would have been lost because I didn't have the groundwork. So I was in his math class, and I would actually have extra work because he knew I wasn't at that level. So he was trying to make sure that I kept my momentum and I didn't fall behind, because next year I hopefully would be put in the proper math class. And in having this one-on-one work with me, he could tell right away there was something wrong. Now, my mom had been getting me tested since, I remember third grade was like the first big meeting, but I had been getting tested like my whole life at that point. And I'd gone to psychiatrists and gotten IQ tests and all of these other things. And my mom knew there was something up, and the psychiatrists knew there was something up. I actually, this April, my mom brought a bunch of files that she found, and in it included one of my evaluations, which was just crazy to read because it was all so textbook. But at the time, they didn't think that you could have a high IQ and have attention deficit disorder, which is what I have. We have hypoactivity, not hyper. So I think really fast, but I move really slow. So, you know, my mom knew something was up, but the school refused to acknowledge it. Well, this teacher, who had a lot of clout, after working one-on-one with me, said, yeah, there's something up. We need to test this girl. And so then they tested me again, found the same results, but this time, because there was somebody fighting in our corner, they got me the support services that I needed. In our school, we called it resource room. Basically, I would go for one period a day, and I would learn skills that would help me in the classroom, that would help me pay attention, and help me excel. And I used those lessons all through school. And when I went to college, I didn't need any help at all. I was totally fine, but I had learned to cope and adapt. And I've actually learned to make my disability work for me. I can do things that neurotypicals can't do because their brains just don't work that way. And it's great. But I needed that. I needed that intervention in order for me to adapt to the way that everybody else was taught. And Mr. Devers did that. But more importantly, Mr. Devers got me out of an abusive situation. And I had a really rough go of it. Having all of the kids bullying me, having some of my siblings bullying me, and then having a teacher bully me was like the last straw. And in the next couple of years, it was going to be very difficult. I was going to go through a very rough time. And I'm not sure if Mr. Devers didn't pull me out of that class and put me in his class, I'm not sure I would have made it to high school. I had a really hard time in middle school, and later on in middle school, it got really dark. And it never got to the point of harming myself. But I think had I not had that intervention in the sixth grade, I could have. Had I had a full year of a teacher making me feel worthless, I don't know what would have happened. And that would have just been a snowball effect. One teacher doing that, how does that affect your other subjects? In the long run, I do believe that I was kept in lower performing math classes because of that beginning in middle school. I mean, I still went up from where I was, but I never went back to the level that I had been in sixth grade. And I was not bad at math. I mean, I wasn't a whiz or anything, but I was pretty good. And I could do a lot of complex stuff in my head, but my confidence definitely took a blow. And I definitely was convinced that I wasn't good at it, probably because I was put in lower performing math classes. I did find that at times when I was put in a higher performing math setting, I excelled and things were easy. And I think that I probably could have done better. But I think 100% going in that lower math class was the best thing for me, because I needed that teacher to nurture me. I needed that one-on-one attention at that point, and I needed to get out of that abusive situation. And coming out of an abusive situation like that, I mean, it wasn't the first couple days that he noticed this. It had been going on for at least a month, probably at most. I can't imagine it went more than 2 or 3 months. So I definitely needed emotionally a teacher that cared. So I think 100% it was the best thing that has happened. And it's one of the moments in my life that definitely changed. I mean, I could have gone in such a bad way. And so I guess the point of this is, if you have kids or you know kids or whatever, and you see something drastically change, pay attention. Something's up. And sometimes academics aren't as important as emotional well-being. And that's definitely the case here. I can tell you many stories, but I'm not going to dwell on being bullied all the time. But I know several people that have, their academics gone in the toilet because of bullies. But what's worse that happens is what happens to the inside. So just, listen to them. Believe them when they talk to you, and even if it seems unreasonable. I mean, every kid says, oh, but that teacher hates me. Sometimes that teacher does hate them. And sometimes the teachers are wrong. And even if the teacher isn't wrong, maybe there's a better fit for your student. And I really do believe that every student needs an individualized approach. I mean, that's what I did whenever I worked in schools. I think this idea of trying to force children into this cookie cutter factory style of education, it doesn't help. It only helps people that are built for that, and everybody else gets left to the wayside, and you're ignoring brilliant people. I mean, some of the most brilliant people do not learn the way that the American education system is set up to teach. They're not set up to learn in a factory setting. So, but yeah, so my rambling and my point is, well, I'm rambling because this memory came to me and it made me realize just how thankful I am for that teacher, for what he did for me. I mean, we need more teachers like that, right? And we need teachers that are going to use their weight, you know, and fight for their students. And we need a lot less teachers that are going to abuse them. We need to pay attention to the kids. And when they suddenly are no longer happy, we need to pay attention. So, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. I chose this because it's a lot of fun and I knew I'd need something fun after telling a story like that. Plus, I think she was in the sixth grade when she was kidnapped. So the premise for Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt is Kimmy was kidnapped when she was a young girl and she was put into a doomsday bunker. And she and a couple other women were convinced by their cult leader that the world had died and they were the last people on Earth living it out in this bunker. And so in a lot of ways, she's still a child, but she's all grown up. And basically somebody discovered the bunker and they came out and realized the world didn't end and it is modern day. It's a lot of fun. It's very weird. You have to go in with a grain of salt. You have to understand that when people are reacting to her, it's just the strangeness. They're not picking on her. That is something I've heard from some friends who've been picked on, that starting Kimmy Schmidt was really hard to watch because it just felt like high school all over again in the beginning. But you got to get past that. It gets really good and funny because she has this purity and this innocence, you know, looking at the world the way that a child would. And yet she's still a complete adult. And, you know, it's interesting and very funny. And it doesn't take itself too seriously. And it has a lot of really great actors in it that I'm blanking on. Oh, shoot. What are their names? So Kimmy Schmidt, oh man, I'm horrible at remembering this stuff. She was in The Office. What the heck's her name? Ellie Kemper. Anyway, she's been in a bunch of stuff. You know her. Jane Kakowski's in it. But the really cool part, the really big name that is neat, is Carol Kane, and she's insanely awesome and cool. And all of the cast are. I really do enjoy everybody. But I think that, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, Carol Kane's on a Netflix series. How bizarre. But she's cool. And it takes a lot of pop culture, and it's a lot of fun. And just, you know, don't take it too seriously. It's a comedy. I believe it's produced by Tina Fey, so it's that style. And I'm going to pair this with some grown-up mac and cheese. Yes, macaroni and cheese made the old-fashioned way, where you've got noodles, you've got like three or four different kinds of cheese, and then you do that milk, butter, flour thing to make it all casserole-y type. And then you're going to take some panko breadcrumbs and some bacon, and you're going to put that on top. And then once you bake it, at the very end of baking, you're going to put a little bit of broil just to make it crunchy on top. And there you go. You've got your mac and cheese and the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. I hope you enjoyed that. I hope I didn't, I wasn't too much of a downer at the beginning of the episode. I will talk to you guys tomorrow.
Nutty Bites is produced at Nimlas Studios. You can find us on the web at nimlasstudios.org. This work is created under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported International License. What that means is you can share it, you can send it to your friends, you just can't make any money off of it, you can't change it, and you have to link back to me, my site, and everything. You can comment and send feedback by going to nimlas.org/nuttybites. You can go to facebook.com/group/nuttybites. You can call the comment line by going to 347-NUTTY42, or you can find me on Twitter, you can search on Google+, you can search the web, you can find me everywhere.